Welcome to the podcast, Let the Prophet Speak. Today we are going to study the fourth chapter of the book of Job, that is Perek Dalet in Sefer Iyov. The third chapter we read of Iyov's initial response to the horrific tragedy and the terrible suffering that he was undergoing. We learned how Iyov initially cursed the day he was born, feeling as if, what's the purpose? Expressing the natural feeling that one feels, what's the purpose of life if life is only suffering? And then he kind of started to calm himself down, but also expressing another natural feeling that someone would go through after suffering such terrible loss and going through such terrible pain, and that is wishing for death, as death is the great equalizer, so to speak. Throughout his expression of grief, Iyov did not direct any anger towards God. He didn't even ask directly God a question, why are you making me suffer? What he did was he expressed his horror and the natural feeling that comes out when somebody undergoes something terrible for which there is no reasonable explanation. Now, Iyov, we know, and we've been told, was completely innocent. The reason for the suffering was a test, and we learned about the heavenly tribunal, so to speak, at which God called Iyov Tam V'Yashar, perfect and straight, completely with God. We know that Iyov did not deserve this suffering. We know that Iyov had no sin. But Iyov himself went through reckoning in his own mind, and we'll see as we go through the rest of this book, and could not find a sin for which he can explain or understand the reasons for suffering. He could not find guilt within himself that would cause him to be deserving of such terrible suffering. Other people, however, we'll see, did not know that Iyov was declared innocent. And we're going to hear those people speak and their reaction in the beginning. We're going to hear the beginning of that in today's chapter and throughout the chapters to come. A couple of things I want to point out before we read the chapter. There's several important things we need to focus on. There's really two. We need to understand the two themes. There's the themes of the reaction of other people to Iyov's suffering. In this case, it is the reaction of the three friends that came to visit and comfort Iyov, right? So from this, we can learn and understand what should one do when one sees someone else going through inexplicable suffering. More importantly, we will learn from these friends what not to do, how not to treat and talk to and speak with and understand other people's suffering. Fortunately for most of us don't go through terrible, terrible suffering every day in today's Western world. Most of us live reasonably comfortable lives, especially when we compare it to the kinds of lives that people may have lived in generations past, especially when we look at our own very not-so-ancient past of Holocaust and suffering, and so on. So most of us look at other people's suffering, and how do we understand it? How do we talk to someone who is going through something like that? But then the other theme is the person, him or herself, who is suffering. What is the reaction that that person can do? Well, how does that, in other words, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate? And when obviously, what we may learn is that there is no real appropriate path. But I'm pointing this out because I want you to follow Iyov himself, the process that goes through his heart, his mind, and then to understand how he deals with it, how he tries to understand it, and how it changes him. And that is the other theme. We saw the beginning of that in chapter 3 when we saw his first reaction. And his first reaction can be encapsulated by understanding. that if someone goes through suffering that he himself or she herself is responsible for, say, for example, a person commits a crime and they get thrown in jail, right? An honest, good person, assuming that they are truly guilty of that crime, will understand, I did this and this, and I therefore deserve this and this. Or a person, you know, borrows way too much money and then they get stuck in debt, you know. Well, I did this and this for no reason. I did it in order to go on a fancy vacation. I didn't need it. And now I'm in terrible debt. So we can look back at our actions of the past and understand why they happen in such simple cases. In other cases, on a more spiritual level, we can look and say, you know, if suffering comes upon us, a religious person might say to him or herself, well, you know, I haven't been very good. I haven't been treating other people around me properly. I haven't been faithful. I haven't been honest. And therefore take it upon themselves to improve themselves spiritually in order to make some kind of sense of the suffering. However, as the level of suffering increases and the level of the infraction or sin or bad deed decreases, it becomes harder and harder and harder to maintain that balance within someone's mind. Like someone can do something small, right? And then they're suffering terribly. Well, I can't relate A to B. You know, one, if somebody, you know, shoplifts the chocolate bar and they get a life sentence in jail, you know, one doesn't, can't say, oh, I understand why this happened. It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't work. And on a spiritual level, the same thing happens. If someone does a minor infraction and suffers horrific, horrific tragedies, then that explanation no longer makes sense, and someone then questions it. Eov here, as we know, had lived a good life, an honest life, a faithful life, a life faithful to God, and as we'll see as we go through, he was a public servant, he was a judge, and he was, for all that we can see, he was an honest judge, a good judge, right? So he has no reason, even if he had some minor sin somewhere, no logical reason why Eov himself could think why he's suffering. And this causes him to question, what's the purpose of life, right? While everything is going good for someone could think, well, the purpose of life is for me to enjoy the bounty and the products of my good behavior. I work hard, I'm honest, I'm good, I'm faithful to God, so I have a good life, I have a healthy family, healthy children, I have my own personal health, I have wealth, I can share, I can do good things with all of this. All of a sudden, that goes away. All of a sudden, one needs to try to understand, well, then what's the point? What's the purpose? And the beginning of the answer, which is why Eov initially attacks and says, why was I born in the first place? And then as he processes through, one of the first steps along that process was the equalizer of death, how death makes everyone the same. So all of a sudden, one starts to realize, wait a minute, the wealth that I had, the status that I had, the health and children that I had could not possibly have been the purpose. All human beings go through life and end up in the same place. Some of them, as Eov said before, are slaves. Some of them suffer. Some of them are ill, some of them are sick, some of them are rich, some of them are poor. Everyone is under different circumstances. And when it's all over, we're all in the same place. So suddenly, the meaning of life, the purpose of all of this, must be something else. We don't know the answer yet. We may never know the answer. But Eov comes a step closer to that process. Now, while Eov goes through this process, his friend Eliphaz, on the other hand, does not understand what Eov is doing. And he looks at Eov and he's still thinking, right? That God is just in a way that we can understand, in a way that we can define. Good people do not suffer. Bad people do get punished. And what we see might, you know, sometimes might be something on the surface, but there's justice happens. We just might not see it. We might not understand it right away, but eventually it will all work out, right? That understanding does not explain the real situation of Eov, nor does it explain any real situation, because no amount of so many times truly innocent people suffer. And even if they weren't 100% innocent, they certainly did not deserve the kind of suffering that they had. Not deserve, at least in the terms of the way you and I understand what people may or may not deserve. So let's see how Eliphaz answers. The next two chapters is Eliphaz's answer. Now, remember, and when someone is mourning, right, the first step is to sit in silence until the mourner, him or herself, begins to speak. That's what happened. Eov spoke. Now the floor is open. So Eliphaz hatemani vayomer. Eliphaz hatemani then responded and said as follows. And we're going to again read through this beautiful poetic language. And there are so many cases which are exceedingly difficult to translate. The Hebrew is very hard to translate, because the way that some of the forms that some of these words take, the roots are unclear what exactly is being referred to. But we're going to work our way through it. I'm not going to spend time on each and every word and the different possible ways of understanding it. But in a few cases, I am going to zero in on some words that I think are key that might help us get some really beautiful and sometimes very painfully beautiful, but beautiful insights. Haniso davar elecha til'eh. If somebody tries to say a word to you, will it be a burden? Va'atzor b'milin miyuchol. But I can't, or someone who can hold back from speaking. After such a tirade like you gave, right? Who can stop speaking? So he started off saying polite. In other words, can I please speak, right? If I could say a word, is it okay? Are you going to be too tired? And then he said, well, I got to speak, because what you just said is that's too much. Hine yisarto rabim, v'yodayim rafos t'chazek. Eliphaz begins by pointing out what Eov had done for a living, what Eov had done in his position, right? In so many cases, you have, now how to translate this word, yisarto, could mean you have rebuked many, right? But in this context, it probably means you have instructed or you have helped so many people. Via dayim rafos techazek, in so many cases, you have strengthened the hands of people that were weakened, right? In other words, imagine Eov was a judge, he was a prominent person. People came to him when they were in trouble, and you, Eov, would help them when they were in trouble, right? Koshel yikimun milecha. Your words have stood up, have helped to stand people that were tripping, that were falling. Uvirkayim koros ta'ameitz, and those people whose knees were bending, right, ta'ameitz, you strengthened them so they could stand tall and straight. So in other words, people came to you when they were in trouble and you advised them, you helped them, right? Ki ata tovo elecha vatele. But now, these kinds of suffering comes to you, and all of a sudden you can't handle it. Tiga odecha vatibohel. It comes upon you, and you lose it, and you go crazy. Vatibohel behola. You go crazy. Halo yir oscha kis losecha. Tikvoscha vitom derachecha. Is not your yira, in other words, your faith in God, is that not there's various ways to translate this, but I'm going to go with, was that not your piety? Wasn't that what made you special? Your hope, your constant hope for ultimate justice, right? V'tom d'rachecha, was that not the perfectness of your ways? In other words, before the suffering happened to you, you always assumed everything was just, everything was going to work. And when people came to you when they were in trouble, you advised them of this. You helped them through these problems, right? Zuchar na mihu naki, and this is where, in other words, you tried to help everyone else, but then when the pain comes to you, you can't handle it. Immediately, I just point out the incredible insensitivity of Eliphaz's words. It strikes us to the heart, How do you criticize someone who is sitting in such horrific pain that lost his entire family, his entire livelihood, his health? He's sitting, lying, literally rolling in the dirt, scratching his, from top to bottom, it's with boils covering. How do you tell him you can't handle this pain because of the words that Eov said before? But this is how could Eliphaz talk this way, right? He was his friend. And we'll see the anger that Eov, when he responds, and that will be in chapter 6, how he expresses it to Eliphaz and puts him in his place. But this is what Eliphaz's answer was, so let's read through it. What is it that drives Eliphaz to answer this way? Well, it is a fundamental belief that Eliphaz has that drives him to speak this way. And that is his belief in injustice, in the justice of God. Now, what's so bad about that, right? Obviously, we like to believe that God is just, right? It certainly would seem that way from the Torah's teachings that God is just. So what's the big deal about Eliphaz thinking that God is just? And how does that thought that God is just lead to the things, to the cruel way that Eliphaz began his answer to Eov? So if we're going to do this, we'll start, it'll be at verse 7. We'll do that in our next podcast. I'll break up this chapter. And we'll see the kind of justice that Eliphaz believed in and why his simplistic sense of justice led him to say the things that he began to say to Eov and what he will continue to say to Eov as he answers. Thank you so much for studying this book together with me. Looking forward to studying the rest of chapter 4. And, of course, the rest of this book of Eov together. Have a wonderful day.